1872. Who can tell me what happened in 1872 in Blue Springs? Say what? This church was started. First United Methodist Church of Blue Springs was begun. That means in 4 years it will be our 150th anniversary. I hope that's a wonderful celebration. But I tell you that because 150 years means that we have had 150 years worth of traditions, 150 years worth of things that we do here, and 150 years of heritage that we draw on that helps us know how to be church. Well, when Paul was writing to the church at Ephesus, they did not have 150 years. In fact, by the most generous counting, you can come up with maybe one-fifth of that. If it was written roughly 30 years or more after Jesus' death, that meant that the church was in its infancy. There was no history on which that they could draw. And so the church was having to learn what it meant to be church. How to be church? How do they relate to one another? What does it mean to be the body of Christ? And so Paul, in this scripture, in the book to the church at Ephesus, is trying to say very specifically something about what it means to be a member of a church, to be part of a church. And so I invite you to listen for Paul's wisdom to this very beginning church as Cheryl shares with us the scripture.
Today's scripture reading is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 4 through 7 and 11 through 16. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to be the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the works of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knitted together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
As we begin to talk about the body of Christ and what it means to be the body of Christ, I want to say a special welcome to those who are part of the body of Christ that are joining us via Facebook Live, whether right now live or as you're watching it later. If you're watching us live, by the way, please log on and let us know who you are and how many are watching with you. What we found is that often many... I didn't do that. But if you want to come pick up your bass, I would not blame you a bit. So anyway, what we've learned is that people that are watching, come on up, Ron, and if you grab the bass. I don't want any instruments. I don't want any instruments to be harmed in the making of this sermon. If you are watching at a sports event, it may be that there are other people that are sitting on the bleachers with you, watching with you, and so we welcome all of them also. And for you, when that is where you are, I hope that you'll always join in that way. Oh, so I don't want to rush things, but if you've walked into any store like Target or Walmart or Kohl's, you may have noticed that we are in the sacred season of Hallowthanksmas. The Halloween decor and candy is nudged up to the small little Thanksgiving section, and Christmas is already coming out. And so I apologize for rushing things even more, but I kind of am, because I want to invite you to think to Christmas when you were a child. When I was a child in Christmas, that was the holiday where we would get bikes. And this Christmas that I'm thinking about, I had had a little bike, and I had had training wheels, and I think I'd gotten those training wheels off, but it was a small enough bike that even without training wheels, I could keep my feet on the ground. And for Christmas this year, I had wanted a new bike, and not just any bike, but a bike with a banana seat and those handlebars that went way down and up and had streamers coming out and hand brakes. I really wanted that bike. I don't know if I looked in the Sears wish book. It makes me sad to know that Sears is soon to be defunct and no more wish books, but I wished for a bike with a banana seat and hand brakes and streamers, and I asked for it, I'm sure, more than once. I was thrilled then when that Christmas I got the bike. Here I am on it. This is that following summer, I guess, and I don't see training wheels. So I learned how to ride that bike, and I loved that bike. Now, imagine for a moment, though, what if I had gotten the bike of my dreams and was sitting in the living room, and I said, oh, thank you, Mom and Dad. Thank you, Santa. And then I never touched it. What if I just left it in the corner? Didn't ever get it out of the box or just left it there? Well, what would have happened? First of all, my parents would have been mystified because I wanted that bike and they knew that. But the other thing is that I totally would have missed out on the joy of riding that bike. Growing up in Atlanta, we were on the street where I was on the top of a hill, and you would go down first one steep hill, and then there was a plateau, but if you had enough momentum, you could keep going until the last gentle hill. At the bottom of the gentle hill was a busy street, so you always wanted to make sure you stopped before you went out in traffic. But I loved riding my bike, and I would have missed out if I'd never ridden that bike on the top of my driveway, which was at street level. My own driveway was a steep hill, and going down that as fast as I could where I could use my handbrakes and stop right behind where you see that I am, the woods behind my house had a sharp drop-off. And it was always a thrill to see how close I could come to that without going over the edge. And I would have missed out on all of that if I had not played with the gift that was given to me that Christmas. So today we're going to start talking about spiritual gifts. And I really want you to keep that image of me and my bicycle in mind. Because we Methodists are a modest and self-effacing people. We don't want to brag on ourselves, and we really don't want to think that there's anything special or gifted about us anyway. But when we come to spiritual gifts, modesty can lead us to not naming or using the gifts that we have been given. And so we leave such amazing gifts abandoned in the corner of the living room when they could be bringing us so much joy and allowing us to bring so much joy to others. Paul, when he was talking to the church, this baby church, trying to learn how to be church, said, Each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. And then he goes on to describe some of the gifts that we all were given. Paul does not say, some of you might be lucky enough to have some gifts. There might be one or two of you out here that actually have some spiritual gifts. No, he doesn't say that. He doesn't say, you know, we're having a lottery and there's a $1 billion prize ahead and one of you is going to be lucky enough to have the $1 billion spiritual gifts jackpot. No, he says to each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. He goes on to talk about us being the body. And you know that analogy, but every part of the body is an important part. If you have ligaments in your shoulder that aren't doing their job, then you're going to have an arm that's dangling uselessly and the hand isn't going to be able to do much because the shoulder ligaments aren't there working. We are the body of Christ and we are gifted together. The thing is, though, that we often forget that we're gifted and we often act like we've got nothing. I mean, on the one hand, I get that. If my car starts to make a loud noise under the hood and my check engine light comes on, I'm taking it to a professional, somebody who knows. And if it turns out that that computer analytic-y thing that they use says that I need a rebuilt carburetor, you're not going to see me with a repair manual and a YouTube video trying to rebuild my own carburetor. I'll leave it to the professionals. In the same ways, when my lovely daughter Vera got married this spring, she picked out a ball gown wedding dress that had for the skirt layers and layers of satin and tulle and lace, and it needed alterations. If I had tried to do them myself, my limited preacher's vocabulary would have not contained enough of those words that preachers don't say for me to get the alterations done. I'm not that type of a seamstress. So I got a professional to do that. And I am so grateful for the first responders, for the firefighters and police officers who are out there so that I don't have to learn how to wrestle a full fire hose while wearing full turnout gear, and I don't have to worry about putting on a bulletproof vest and knowing how to shoot a gun because there are other people who know how to do these things, and so I don't have to. But that is not true of our spiritual lives. You can't just say, oh, I heard Sally preach today and I went to Sunday school. I don't need to crack my Bible ever again till the next week. You can't say, that Erica prays the most beautiful prayers, and she really does, but so I don't need to pray until I'm back in church next week. Of course not. And you can't say, you know, I really don't have anything I need to do for the church. That's what we pay professional staff to do. Of course not. We are all gifted, and it is up to us to nourish and nurture and grow the spiritual gifts that are within us so that we can enjoy them with pleasure and we can share that joy as we share them with other people. We are all gifted, and we can never outsource what God has given us to do and be. That's why I feel it's so important. Important enough that we're going to spend the next hunk of time together, sharing together in a spiritual gifts assessment. I'd like to invite you to open your bulletins and find this orange sheet. If your family, if you only grabbed one and there are a couple of adults, or if you don't have a bulletin, if you'd raise your hand, we've got somebody ready to bring some of these out. So if you don't have one of these for your own, just raise your hand and we'll bring one to you. What we're going to do is I'm going to invite you for the next 10 minutes, which is a lot of time to spend, for the next 10 minutes to begin to fill this out. Some of you that are speed readers may get this done in 10 minutes. Others of you may find that you're being slower, and some of these you'll need to think about. That's okay. I want you to begin so that you'll get curious about how it's going. I also overheard somebody last service say, oh, I should just put four on everyone. That is not so. We all are gifted. There are things. Nobody's going to see the specific answers beside you. Feel free to be as honest, including in the good way, as you would like. Once you're done with it, then, if you'll take a moment and look at that light yellow sheet that's stapled to the back, I'm going to ask you to score yourself, because that way, again, you'll be the only one to see your answer to specific questions. And then once you've gotten the scoring done at the very bottom, I would like to ask you, that very bottom is the part that I would love to get back, where it said, put your name and then my lowest five scores and put those letters down there. And what will happen is, if you'll leave that in the basket that's in the lobby, either today after worship or later today or next weekend, bring it back. Then the week after you bring it back, then you'll find an envelope with your name on it in the lobby. And in that envelope, we'll have the list of gifts that you've identified and some explanations of what those might look like as you live them out. So we're going to have a little music play. These are songs that the band, at least one of them I know the band has played, but I wanted them to have a chance to engage in this also. So just sit back and enjoy this and listen for how God is leading you to answer. Well, I know many of you were getting done. Some of you are scoring and some of you aren't done. And I know it's an unusual thing to be sitting in church and doing a quiz, but I just want you to know how important it is because we're all in this together and you are all gifted. And so I hope that this has sparked your curiosity. I hope that you will finish it either today or this week and give us that bottom tear off so that we can share with you what spiritual gifts you have identified for yourself. No matter who you are, you have wonderful gifts that God has given you. Don't leave them under the tree, but enjoy the joy of the gifts that God has given you. Let us pray together. Oh God, I thank you that none of us can do it on our own, but that as your body, we are each one of us empowered. We are each one of us gifted. God, give us curiosity to explore the gifts that you have given us, that we truly may live in the joy of these generous gifts. Amen.